So it's become common practice. I don't know if it's tradition, but the Sunday following Christmas, at least here at St. Mike's, has often been one where we do a lot of singing, which we've had, and you've been wonderful. And the sermon is delightfully short. A sermonette, perhaps, you might say. In fact, as I was, you know, I was giving a lot of thought as I was driving back home yesterday, and the day before. We've been driving both the previous 2 days. And in fact, as I was left the house today, and Janet was just not up to it because of the of her pain, and I said, you know, please pray that God's words are heard, no matter what comes out of my mouth. So I pray that that you'll get something to think about here. What I'm offering up today is some things to think about from today's gospel, sort of a buffet of thoughts. And who doesn't like a buffet? Well, okay, maybe not a buffet of thoughts, but let's have at least three main dishes to provide some food for thought. The first thing that I wanted to talk about based on the gospel reading today is about refugees. Now, refugees are a hot topic in recent years, particularly because of, there's been a high number of refugees for a number of reasons. And it's expected to continue to grow for a number of reasons. And it's a hot topic because some populist politicians want to reduce or restrict immigration, including refugees. Well, why? Well, they're feeding on fear. They're feeding on ignorance. And they're feeding on being able to direct angst towards the other. But what makes someone an other? Is it the color of their skin? Is it different traditions or culture? Whatever it is, I believe at the root of it is selfish intolerance. Sure, there are a number of challenges incorporating refugees into any new place. And certainly if they come in large numbers, it can be a great burden for the receiving region. But it pales in comparison, I believe, what the refugees are being forced to deal with in having to move. And I believe that history will show in the long run we will benefit from accepting new people that come to our lands or to new lands. I think that this is proven out in our case here. We are enriched by the introduction of new ideas, new people, new traditions. Now, a few things to consider when faced with those who might try to suggest to you that refugees are a threat to you. First of all, refugees are people just like you. Except not like you, they are forced to leave their home. Forced due to war, due to threat of violence, due to loss of home, due to natural disaster or climate change, which is devastating habitat at an alarming rate. And as such, they deserve our compassion, not our hatred. Secondly, at our core, all of us here, all of us who would be arriving from other lands, we all want the same for ourselves and our family. When it comes right down to it, we want safety. We want belonging. We want food and water. A better life for our children, to live in peace, and to contribute to our community. Now, what is there to fear in that? And third thing I'd like you to consider, if anyone's suggesting that refugees are a threat to you, ask how you would treat Jesus if he was a refugee, if he looked different than ourselves and came from a different tradition. Oh, wait a minute, he did. Of course he did. He was a refugee. We heard about it today. He did look different than most of us here. He had brown skin. He's from the Middle East. He spoke a different language. He was Jewish. He was different. We tend to, just to take off on that for a moment, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that God speaks to us who we are and as we are, but we tend to have transform Jesus into some white baby who was exactly like us, whatever us is. We have to remember that's not the case. And what's important is not the color of Jesus' skin, not the traditions that he followed, but the teachings that he taught us, the words that he gave us, and they speak to us whoever we are, wherever we are. So I offer up those few things to consider when faced with those who might try to suggest refugees are a threat to us. But let's not be simply passive in that. If you're having a family gathering and somebody suggests that, well, I would like to suggest that at the root of a lot of arguments against refugees, yeah, there's concerns about logistics and all that, but if it's really about keeping people out, at the root of that is hate, and we can't let that continue. Speak up. So that was dish number one, to provide some food for thought. Dish number two. The dark side of humanity. I hope you, like myself, were horrified whenever you read this story about Herod killing all of the children around Bethlehem, 2 years old or under. I can't imagine the suffering. Sure, we heard the words of the wailing, but my goodness, can you imagine that community? We know what it's like when a natural disaster hits here in Alberta or somebody's house burns down. We all feel a connection somehow. We feel like, oh, I know somebody there, and you reach out to help. Can you imagine a community whose children, the youngest children, had just been wiped out? Horrible. Now, Herod, out of a sense of threat to his power and self-entitlement, put his needs ahead of the lives of many, many infants, on the mere speculation that the prophesied Savior was amongst them. This behavior, of course, is not isolated in history, and our horror is not limited to this one story. We have seen this many times, today and of old. And unfortunately, this is the dark side of humanity. Within our species runs the ability to put own needs ahead of others, even to the point of doing devastating damage to the other. We see it through eradication of ethnic groups, through the Holocaust, through shootings, through any number of things, big and small. Domestic violence, armed robberies, all of these things are around us, and it is the dark side of humanity. Now, my food for thought here is, once again, let's not be passive in these things. Let's not become complacent. Let's continue to be horrified by these things. Let's not let disasters, big or small, go without us saying, that's not right. That's not in accordance with God's teachings. That's not acceptable. The moment we become accustomed and complacent to any form of atrocity, big or small, is the moment that we begin to allow God's love within us to be extinguished. That was food for thought number two. Now, food for thought number three is a very difficult one, and it's probably one of the more difficult questions that one can ask, and I'm going to ask it, but don't for a second think I can answer it. Why didn't God stop the infants from being killed? Why didn't he send his angels to other parents or talk to them in their dreams? Well, maybe he did, and the others did not listen. But it's a big question. How can these things happen? I'm going to give you some food for thought to consider But it's things that we have to wrestle with in our prayers and in our readings of Scripture. Maybe, having given mankind free will, God will not violate the bad choices that humans make, so as to not violate the integrity of also our good choices. God is love. And love without choice is not love at all. And so to violate the free will that a human makes, such as Herod, is to violate our free will to love. And without that free will, we cannot love, nor can we be loved. Something to think about. Maybe another course of thought is that God, in fact, this is not a maybe, this is a for sure thing. God sees things different than we do. And God knew that the eternal spiritual well-being of those infants was secure. And the time-specific grief was not necessarily the big consequence in the big picture. And maybe God does not see death as we do. God being the source of all life, and all life being one with God, maybe God sees death as not an end, but rather as a continuation of life in another form. All things for us to wrestle with, things for us to wonder. And I encourage you to actively wonder about these things, because it's in that wondering and it's in that conversation and in those prayers that we actually get closer to God and perhaps have a greater understanding of our own being. You know, I'd like to end these three servings of food for thought with thanks. I would like to say thanks be to God for walking with those in need, for being those who are suffering or mourning, for being with those who have lost their home and are refugees. I'd like to give thanks for God being with us when we are suffering. I'd like to give thanks to God for giving us choice, albeit we make some bad choices sometimes. And I'd like to give thanks to God for the forgiveness and open arms that He has for us upon our repentance. And I'd like to give thanks for God for being with us through times of questioning, through times of doubt, through times where we wonder, how could this happen? And I'm sure that God is asking that very same question as how to some of these things could happen, and is there through our wondering. And I'd like to give thanks for all of the blessings that we have received, that we reflect upon at this time of year, whether it be beautiful surroundings, friends and community, a place to worship, clean air to breathe, whatever it is, I say thanks be to God. Amen.